welcome back to The Evolution of a Snake. This is 2009 Part 2. Make sure to follow us on Spotify if you're listening there, and to subscribe on Apple Music. You can also follow us on Twitter at T-Swift Podcast, and we will be picking up right where we left off on the day that it all kind of happened, the 2009 VMAs.
I almost considered asking Zach if he wanted to do like a whole fucking episode on this. The thing is, it wouldn't be very long. Like, it would maybe be 45 minutes at most if we like drug it out. But I mean, it everything happened on this day, and it's insane to me that it was a 13th.
Yeah, that's scary. That's really scary.
That really freaks me out.
I'm scared that this was still Taylor's favorite number after this shit happened. This moment was so, I say the word prolific a lot on this, but this really was the most prolific thing that happened in her early career, because this shit dragged on until 2016. That is when we got a resolution to this matter, and I don't think it's over. I think it's just put to rest. She's resting. It's not done.
When I think about the timeline, and I even made a video about this, like when this first happened, no, not when this first happened, when the second big thing happened with Kim Kardashian and all that, I made a video about it, and I was talking about the timeline, about how just like, I mean, after this happened, it took the two of those two people until 2015 to even look at one another. That's it. That's crazy. It was so, and I don't think that either of them, like, yeah, Kanye made the choice to go out and do that. I do not think that that is something that he is happy that he did.
Nope.
Because it fucked him, and it
made him look like an idiot.
And it just tied them together in a way that they'll never be able to recover from. Like, when one is mentioned, the other is mentioned in media, in articles. It's been a mess.
It was one of the most shocking events in music history. And I know this because I watched a countdown of the most shocking events in music history. And this was, like, number 5. I mean, it wasn't, I wouldn't say, like, oh, my God, gas, shock, this is crazy. But, I mean, like, it was, I mean, I think it was actually pretty insane, like the entire thing. So,
yes.
Like
when this was back when the VMAs also had a big cultural impact, where drama happened and the world talked about it for a long time. And I would say that this was like, you know, there was Britney and Madonna having their kiss. That was the last big moment before this happened. You know, a shot heard around the world. And the next one after this was Miley Cyrus. So it doesn't happen that often where a drama shakes the world, but this shook the world. The fucking president commented on this. We're getting ahead of ourselves. So everything begins with a promo commercial called Tonight Tonight, which pains me to look back on. It's Taylor Swift singing
in a New York City taxi,
and she sings, "Tonight there'll be no teardrops on my guitar."
Girl, that guitar you set yourself up for a disaster.
You did this to yourself.
Yep.
So she literally says, "There'll be no teardrops on my guitar." She's under the impression, I think she knew she was going to win. She was hype, and they did this promo commercial. Go watch it. It's kind of painful to listen to. The vocals are bad. They didn't edit it well.
I cannot believe they did not do fucking sound editing.
I know. Why?
Why did they hate her? They let Kanye get up on that stage. I believe to this day they let him. Okay, anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves again.
But they couldn't just auto-tune her a little bit? Come on. They're trying to ruin her career here. So this was questionable, and everything gets off to a great start. She arrives in a literal carriage. I didn't remember this until Madeline pointed it out, and I Googled Taylor Swift carriage VMA 2009.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you forget about all the other fucking details, aside from the one thing that happened. She arrived in a princess carriage. Everybody, I want everybody to know that and to appreciate it. Everybody reflect for 1 second about how she came as a princess, and she looked like Cinderella fleeing the ball. She really was.
And this is when Taylor hired a stylist, clearly, because
she looks so good. She looks so good.
One of her best looks to date. Was this one of the debuts of a red lip look?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, overshadowed. I think that was like the first time that I can remember her showing up at an award show and being like, "Here's my bold red lip."
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it became a big deal, but we had bigger things to focus on at this time.
Yeah, we had bigger fish to fucking fry.
So she has her hair in an updo. She looks amazing. And my note is classic Taylor jumped out. She did.
She did. Looks like she could be at like the 1920s like Oscars. You know what I mean?
Oh, she
class.
This is
sophistication,
a
elegance. Yeah.
It's not trend chasing. It just, this is under, again, everything about this is underrated because of what happened.
Yeah.
So All right. Taylor Swift wins the VMA for Best Female Video, and she is the first country artist to ever receive a VMA. Like, the first country artist, not like female country artist, like a country artist just to get a VMA. Taylor gets up on stage. She's real happy.
She's doing her classic surprised face.
Beyonce is giving a gracious clap. Everybody looks fine. She goes to speak. Kanye West comes on stage, grabs the mic, and says, Taylor, I'm really happy for you, and I'm going to let you finish.
But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
He shrugs his shoulders and throws the mic very aggressively back at Taylor, and she is shook.
Something that, like, really strikes me about, like, when this actually first happens is, like, when he takes the microphone out of her hands, she, like, leans forward to be like, what is it? And he's like, I'm going to let you finish. And she's like, oh, okay.
Yes, like,
you watch your face, she's like, go oh, off. Okay. Okay, what are you going to say? Like, thinking that he's gonna have, like, some, I don't know what.
Oh, no, I read an interview.
Her first thought.
Oh, I read an interview. I can tell you what it was. I read an interview where she said, I thought that maybe he was doing a special presentation, like a surprise thing from the VMAs, that he was gonna present the award to me or do some sort of, like, tribute kind of thing. I didn't realize he was going to do that.
Oh, God. That is, like, whenever I think about it, like, it makes me laugh, but it also makes me really sad how she's just like, okay.
Yeah, she was like,
like,
I have to.
She didn't say, like, what the fuck are you doing? She wasn't, like, she didn't look like, oh, my God, it's funny, like, whenever people say, like, I'm Taylor Swift, a black man attacked me on stage once, you know, like, it's so funny. Like, it's funny because it's, like, obviously you don't mean that, but, like, whenever people are, like, you know, make it serious, like, she was thought that she was attacked by a black man. It's like, look at her face and tell me she thinks she's being attacked. Yeah. She like, basically hands him the fucking microphone. You know what I mean?
She says, go. Like, you go, girl. Yeah. What do you have to say?
She's, like, stands there in the background. And, like, when the change in her facial expression from, like, being, like, horrible, openly interested in what he's going to say to, like,
it.
Being, like,
he just took this moment from me. I don't get to do this anymore. This is, like, such a big moment for me, and now it's gone. And she knew in her face that it was a big deal. You can see that she knows.
When she's, like, taking the microphone back, she, like, has this, like, look on her face where she's just like, what am I gonna say? What am I gonna say? And she says, I just want to thank the fans. And then that's like all she says. And then she puts the microphone down, and she walks off. Because it's like, what the fuck, Gus? Like, what are you gonna say?
I wish that we had more cameras on this moment, and I wish that they hadn't cut to commercials so soon after it happened.
Because I would have loved to have seen what Kanye did when he walked off the stage. Where did he go? Did he go and sit back down like nothing happened?
He was removed by security.
Yes, he was removed from the show eventually, but it didn't happen immediately.
What I loved is when, like, he said, Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time, and it shows Taylor in the background, and then it pans immediately to Beyonce, and her face,
she's like, oh my God,
horrified.
She's like, please,
horrified.
No, don't take this away from this girl. She was like, oh my God.
She literally says, oh, Kanye. It's just like, oh no.
And also, to note, Beyonce had won several awards that evening. She won Video of the Year. So she was doing okay. This wasn't like a huge, everybody says, like, oh, Kanye was just standing up for, like, really good work. And it was like, actually, Beyonce won, like, literally six other awards that night. Taylor was nominated for one thing, won one award. She didn't get her fucking time.
For a while, the public opinion was that, like, oh, fuck Kanye, like, what he did was absolutely wrong. And then, like, coming into, when we get into, like, you know, later years when everybody hates Taylor Swift, and people would say, like, you know what, I don't care what anybody says, what Kanye did was the right thing to do. He was right. He was not wrong. He was right.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know what, it's like, I can't even believe we're having this discussion at this point. It's like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, if Kanye had, like, done an interview somewhere else and been like, I think that Beyonce should have won, like, that would have been fine. What he did was fucking shitty and mean.
That's all
there is to it. That's it. You cannot defend it. You cannot defend shitty, mean things.
And, you know, his actions have been repeated in later years.
And he's shown himself to be a disrespectful jackass who can't keep his mouth shut. And he did it. And then everybody absolved him, but now we're all blaming him again because he's a Trump supporter. Really, it's so cyclical the way that people behave with Kanye West, and how people, like, on the one hand think he's a fucking genius, and then on the other hand think that he's a dumbass. And it's like, we need to like, stick with one opinion of him and just, like, keep it there.
Here's the thing is that my opinion on the genius or dumbass thing is that, like, His early music, like if we go through, we're talking about Late Registration, Graduation, all the way up through My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and Watch the Throne. Those albums are works of, like, it's some of the best hip hop music that there Genius. Is. When we get into Yeezus, that's when he starts going absolutely downhill in his art. And it's like, I can't say that he's a genius anymore. I can't say that. He used to be. I don't know that he is anymore. Especially not now. I mean, he just completely, I mean, just respect for women. I mean, just to start.
Just to start. Just to
begin. But anyway.
This clip proves that Taylor is not a confrontational person. As in, everybody tries to paint her as this mean girl who wants to take shots at people. And I think that Taylor has, I do to some extent think that she does have a victim complex to a degree where someone wrongs her, she feels wronged, and she lashes out, right? But it's usually she does that on her own time, usually from the privacy of her bedroom through a song. This was an opportunity for her to go crazy and to be mean back and show that she was a mean girl, and she was just scared and sad. Like, that was it.
Right, it's like you can't act any kind of way. Like, there was not even enough time for her to think about how she could spin this to make people feel bad for her. Nope. She genuinely was like, oh my god, I'm in front of maybe hundreds of people, there are millions of people watching this on TV, and I'm standing here and I feel like I'm gonna cry and I want to get off the stage right now.
So I know from someone who was in the crowd at the VMAs that night that Taylor walked off, went into Taylor Lautner's arms and burst into tears.
And she just stood there and cried for a little bit. And this is where Back to December comes in. You held me in your arms that September night, the first time you ever saw me cry. And until someone told me about this thing that they had seen, I hadn't put two and two together and realized that this was the moment she was talking about in Back to December.
Oh, I always knew. I knew it from the first time I heard it. I was like, it's got to be about the VMAs.
I knew it was from the VMAs, but I thought maybe it was like after she went home and she cried. I didn't realize it was like there and then, like, because he presented the award. He presented her the award.
Oh my God, that's right. I forgot that he was standing in the background. Yes, at the time.
He was on the stage.
Oh my God, do you remember when he did his fucking SNL episode and they like showed a clip? They're like, oh, hey, Taylor, remember when you just stood there while your girlfriend got roasted by Kanye West? And he was like, well, I didn't have a lot of time to think about what I would do, but this is what I would have done. And he was like doing his martial arts work and he like kicked Kanye's head off a dummy.
That was a little more aggressive than anything Taylor's ever done to Kanye West. But, you know, we hate Taylor Swift.
It's
crazy. It's just so weird that he was on the stage presenting. She went into his arms right after and cried like a movie.
And she looked so beautiful.
It was
then Kanye West comes over and takes a big shit.
Yeah, it was like reality. I was about to say it's like reality TV. I mean, I guess it is.
It happens. It is. The thing about it, every time that I think about this, I am like shocked and dismayed by the fact that she had to perform. I'm not kidding you. This was like 15 minutes after.
There was one award given out, which takes what, a maximum of 7 minutes. They have such small time frames for this stuff, which is why Taylor didn't get to basically say anything after she got interrupted, because he used up all of her time. There's such small moments between these things happening. Taylor really had to like go get changed, fix her makeup, and go out into the streets of New York City,
get up on a taxi and sing You Belong With Me.
The fact that you did that is like unfucking believable to me.
She served us as well. That was a great performance. I think it spurred her on. Like, she was great. She was in the zone. You wouldn't have known that something had happened to her before that. So many artists would have canceled. I really think a lot of artists would have been like, fuck that. I'm not getting on the stage. I'm going home. Like, y'all aren't doing anything about this. Bye. But Taylor, she did that. She got up on stage. She was a professional bitch.
She was fucking 19. It's like crazy to me. She wasn't even 19. No, she was. She was 19.
She was 19, yeah.
And
Andrea Swift allegedly, according to Rolling Stone, confronted Kanye herself backstage. I would be scared. I would be so scared, you know, if Andrea Swift confronted me.
Somebody's fucking mother comes for your neck. Like, that is the real shit. Somebody's mom is on wrong. Your ass. It doesn't matter whose mom, who your mom is. If I swear to God. I mean, Andrea's scary, but like any mom would have been scary at that moment. Kanye West probably shit himself. I don't know. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to have heard the things that she said and what he could have possibly said back to her.
Apparently, she got a half-hearted apology from him, but he defended what he said, which doesn't surprise me. That sounds like exactly what would have happened.
No, I can like hear him describing it in his head, just being like, I don't know what he exactly would have said, but just like, well, I was right. But sorry, I hurt your daughter's feelings, whatever. Which is like kind of what he's always said.
Yeah. He's apologized and then taken it back. Like either deleted, he like made a post on his website and deleted that. He went on to like one of the Tonight shows and was like, I'm sorry. And then went on Ellen and was like, never mind, I'm actually not sorry. Even when they made up, I think that the resolution of their conflict was Taylor was like, I'm going to decide not to be mad about this anymore.
Yeah, and it really made me mad because I remember in the wake of everything, people would say that she would never shut up about it. And she just was victimizing herself and would never, ever talk about it.
She refused to talk about it. Beyonce wins Video of the Year. And because she's a fucking gracious queen, she invites Taylor out to have her moment.
Yeah, that was an incredible moment in music history. Personally, I think that the Beyonce and Taylor moment is more important than the Kanye and Taylor moment, but you can't get the press to believe that.
Nope. So, it's legends supporting legends. That's it.
That's all it is. And Beyonce and Taylor, by the way, no matter what the Beehive will have you believe, they have always been very friendly with one another. They don't have, I mean, come on, it's Beyonce and it's Taylor Swift.
They have a mutual respect for one another. Yeah. They're not best friends. They're not hanging out. They're not texting each other, but they each know that the other girl is a girl.
yeah pretty much, exactly.
That's what they know, and I think they will always have nothing but kind things to say. But Beyonce never speaks to anyone, so she's not gonna say anything, but Taylor will. Taylor gushes in her interviews. She says, I was really excited because I had just won the award, and then I was really excited because Kanye West was on stage, and then I wasn't so excited anymore after that. And she says, and I quote, I don't want to start anything because I had a great night. That's what she said the night of. She said what she fucking said. If you weren't a fan around this time, it's hard to put into your brain how big of a deal this was to the whole world. Like, not just to Taylor fans, not just to like music media. Obama talks about this. And this was before the president was all over social media talking shit. The president only talked about stuff that mattered at this stage.
So, and this mattered, everybody. This fucking mattered. But what's important to note about this is that he didn't just like get on the mic or get on Twitter and start talking about how Kanye's a jackass. It was like a pre-interview thing. Like, he was on a mic that was being like fitted onto his shirt. Like, it was on, but he didn't know that he was being recorded. So they were like, oh, did you hear about this that happened, President Obama? And he's like, what happened? And they're like, oh, well, Kanye West like jumped on stage when Taylor Swift was trying to accept her award. And I remember him saying something to the effect of like, she seems like such a nice girl. He's a fucking jackass. Yeah. I was just like,
he literally looks like a jackass. So a lot of celebrities hop in on this. Pink goes insane. Kelly Clarkson says, it is fascinating how much I don't like you.
Pink goes insane.
She does.
Katy Perry goes insane too. All these women just like leaping to the defense of this helpless kitten, Taylor Swift. It's very inspiring. It really is. Considering things that happened in later years, it's very interesting as well. But
and in 2009, when women weren't exactly supporting other women,
this was a big fucking deal. This was cool.
For all the people that say that Taylor was a fame whore, she talked about it publicly one time. She said it once on an interview on The View.
She said something very non-committal about how she was having a good time, and then Kanye West got on stage and she was no longer having a good time anymore. And then we have a very interesting interview.
Taylor and a radio show host. Taylor's there plugging the platinum edition of Fearless, which, by the way, is coming out like 2 weeks later. she's on the phone and they're talking about Fearless, and he goes, well, what did you think of the Kanye West situation? And Taylor gives her like pre-recorded answer. She just kind of says, I don't really want to talk about it. And this interviewer pushes her and makes her uncomfortable.
She says like three times, like, we're not going to talk about this. Like, I don't want to talk about it.
She answered it vaguely the first time. And then she was like, can we talk about something else?
And then she was like, I really don't want to talk about this anymore.
And then she had enough, walked away from the phone, and she handed it to her publicist, Paula.
And Paula was like,
all right, bye. She was like, thanks. We have new music coming out in 2 weeks and you don't want to talk about that? And she was going to put him back on the phone to Taylor, but he wouldn't fucking let it go. He was like a dog with a bone. He was like, I have to get, you know, I'm a journalist. I have to ask this.
The way that he acted about it was like, oh, wow. She walked away from the phone. Wow. Okay. Wow. Yeah. It's like, you made her sound like a bitch. You're a fucking asshole. And the thing is that everybody who would listen to that would be like, you're a dick. So luckily there's that. Like, you can't, I mean, it's in stone. Like, you were acting like a dick and Taylor told you a million times. Like, just because she's a celebrity that's doing an interview, she's not required to talk to you about anything. Especially not when she's told you 11 times she doesn't want to fucking talk about it. So,
Taylor never acts out in interviews. She is so... No, that's the only
memory I have.
Well, there's that Grammy interview with the lady.
That was the only one that comes to mind, though.
But even then, Taylor is not outwardly rude. Like, the interviewer...
No, she gives her a look.
The interviewer doesn't pick up on the fact that Taylor being rude. But this interviewer, this is the only time Taylor fucking snapped in an interview. She was
like, I'm not doing it. Yeah.
And I think
you imagine how exhausting that was to have to constantly talk about this terrible thing that happened to you? I would have been over it in a day.
And this was before Taylor realized that bad controversy was good for selling. I think in her mind, she was like, this is really going to affect the album I have coming out in 2 weeks. Like, nobody's going to talk about my music and everyone's going to talk about this horrible thing that had happened to me. So I want to stop it now. And it is known that for years after in interviews, she would not talk about it. People would bring it up and she would shut it down. She would not ask the question. Interviewers that had the chance to interview her would say that they got a little list of questions that were not allowed to be asked in the interview, and that was one of the questions. She kept this shit on lock. She really didn't. You know what? I just realized that innocent exists.
Come on. That's like the only thing, and it's so vague.
Yeah, it is vague.
All she says is like, I forgive you for doing this bad thing to me. Even though all he's ever done is rescind his apology. You know what I mean? Like, why are you forgiving him? You don't have to.
To be fair, she was not going on talk shows or Twitter and saying things about this. This was the first time also that Taylor went silent on her social media. I think a week after the VMAs, she didn't say anything, which was weird because she was tweeting like 10 times a day every day. So we didn't know, but she was getting ready to take it all away from us. To tell us. I wanted to hear that interview again where she steps away from the phone, cannot find it on YouTube. It's not there.
I've never heard anybody talk about it. And the thing is, like, I feel like I heard it myself, not even like immediately after it happened. I couldn't tell you what radio show it was.
So you're just going to have to take our word for it. But if you're a real stan that wants to know about the inner workings of her mind, you've heard this already. So then on October 19th, something really underwhelming happens. Two is Better Than One with Boys Like Girls comes out.
Oh my God, I forgot about that piece of shit song. God, everyone, I fucking hate that song.
And I was like, you know what? We can blame Boys Like Girls. Like, they obviously wrote this and got Taylor to sing on it. Nope.
Taylor is the only writer on this song.
They didn't even co-write with her?
Nope. Taylor wrote this by herself. Maybe with Liz.
Two is Better Than One. She sat down and said, two is better than one. What a thought. What an idea.
Doesn't this sound like a reject? Like, this sounds like a rare. This sounds like a rare.
Oh,
really
this
does.
Sounds like a fucking rare. And Boys Like Girls, come on. I do remember the controversy about people thinking that Love Story was about him.
That's insane. That's really
It is literally insane. It's like, maybe they did, like, kind of, like, maybe they made out a few times or, like, they went on a couple dates. But I'm here to tell you, Love Story is not about that bitch.
No, it's not. I mean, and also, this was a weird band for Taylor to collab with because they were not huge at the time. They had like two hits here and there, but they weren't like a big band. And Taylor was definitely at this stage bigger than they were.
Abigail was like such a that kind of music person. Like, she loves Dashboard Confessional, and she did like Boys Like Girls, and she did like Forever the Sickest Kids. So that was her kind of thing. So maybe she only did it because Abigail was like, oh my God. Maybe that's the only reason they even met. I don't know.
She doesn't sing on it that much. She's just kind of like, she has a couple lines, just some backing vocals. Their voices don't sound good together. The song's not good. But it outpeaks 15, which is crazy.
That's literally the most humiliating thing I have ever heard in my life. I don't know if I can live with that information. Two is better than fucking one. Did better than 15.
I know. Makes me sick. It's a joke. It hit number 18. This broke the top. This shit broke the top 20.
That's unbelievable.
But also, I think this really speaks to Taylor's power at this stage. Like, this was the first thing that we get post the VMAs.
She even made Boys Like Girls trend. That's her power.
Boys Like Girls label went to Taylor and they were like, do you have any bargain basement songs that we can get for like $2? And they were like, yeah, okay, have this one. So that comes out. We don't care about it. We actually spent a lot of time talking about it for something that's so boring. But October 26th, 2009, a day before my 13th birthday, the Platinum Edition of Fearless.
Your birthday is October 27th?
Yeah, 1989 was my birthday.
That's my niece's birthday.
Happy birthday to 1989, me and your niece.
Yes.
So on the 26th, the Platinum Edition comes out,
which is, can we talk about how good this is? It's so good.
Yeah, you're going to hate me for this, and so are some other people. I wish that certain songs on Fearless Platinum had not been Platinum songs and had been on the actual album, and a couple of songs that were actually on Fearless were not on Fearless.
I know what you're going to say. You want the best day off, and I want you off.
Well, okay, listen, yes, personally, I wouldn't mind if the best day was gone. But I mean, like, I have to admit, like, it serves a purpose. Like, it's there. It's not my favorite, but somebody else, like, it's important to some people, so whatever. I don't think I would touch that one. The way knew I would it. Do, I'd say it. Goodbye. Hello to the other side of the door, my friends.
Okay, so let's go through the songs.
We got Jump Then Fall. I think this is the weakest of the tracks.
And you know what's funny is that she promoted it. She played it on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, she did.
She embarrassed herself.
And also, can I just say that if a lot of people think that this is their favorite song, if this is your favorite Taylor Swift song,
their favorite song of all time?
Yeah, people stan this song. They got her to play it on the fucking Reputation tour.
Who's saying it's their favorite song? Who are these
I see people all over Twitter being like,
that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Jump and Fall is so good.
Is it though? Like, I mean,
it's good. It's good, but it's not top 10. No way.
No fucking way is it top 10. 40, maybe. Like, I mean, I like the song. I think it's adorable. I think it's a really, really cute song. But, like, come on. Even to say that your favorite Fearless Platinum song is insane to me.
Yes. When the caliber of the other songs is just...
The caliber. The mwah. Fucking caliber.
Chef's kiss. Mwah. So good. Yeah. Then we get Untouchable, which, were you shook when you learned that this was a cover?
I was absolutely floored when I learned that she didn't write this song.
I was actually really surprised. And I actually found it out. It was like when Fearless Platinum was like coming out, because like I had the acoustic version for so long and I was, oh, we got a studio version. That's so cool. It's so cool. And like somebody, I think it was Massey actually at the time, she was Massey, and she was just like talking about it. And because she had that website, that Taylor Swift website, it was like Taylor.net, something like, she had a website.
I remember
she was
this.
She was talking about the album, and she was like, oh, and like telling us the track list, and she was like, oh, Untouchable, that is a cover song, and it's by Luna Halo. And I was like, what? And then like, I looked up the original song.
I thought it was a prank.
Where did she hear this song?
Who showed it to her?
To begin with, like... Was this like a song that her boyfriend at some point really liked? That's all I can think of, because it sounds like a song a man would listen to. Let's just leave it at that.
And the original song is horrible. It sounds bad.
It's like, it almost makes me wonder, like, how did she even like make this happen? Like, this is incredible.
It is so amazing.
To me, Untouchable is just like a song that's like different from any other song that she's ever had. And like, I know it's because it's a cover, probably a little bit, but like the production, like just like the way that it's put together. It's not like any other Taylor Swift song. It's just isn't.
Vocals.
Like the, so, you know, I mean, it's just, it's insane. I love that song. I love it.
It's so good. And also, yeah, I just think the talent, the curator in her jumped out when she heard that song and was like, I can make this song sound like a different song.
And we have one live performance of it.
And it is adorable. We talked about it before.
Yeah.
Then we get another amazing song, Superstar, Liz Rose. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
We owe you.
Love
so
this
much.
Song. Yeah, it's the songwriting on the song is fucking incredible. Like, just like I don't even know. It's just like there are so many like lines that you can just like pull out. They're like, this is an incredible line. Oh, this is an incredible line. This is an incredible line. It's just incredible.
I think it's so cute. It's understated. And for the longest time, I didn't listen to the song, and I came to it like 4 years ago. I listened to it, and I was like, oh my god. But yeah, I think it's so cute. It tells a story. It's like pining, wistful Taylor. And then we have Forever and Always, the piano version. Wow, Depression Hours.
Depression Hours, my friend. I mean, the amount of times I've sat there listening to this song. Because I mean, it's just like, you do not listen to this song like, oh, I really love the song, I'm going to listen to it. You listen to that fucking song when you're ready for death. That's all there is to it. Like, yeah. It is that sad of a song.
I don't revisit this very often.
No. I have not listened to that song in... I would honestly tell you, like, 2 years.
It is a song you go to when you're going fucking through it.
This was, like, the start of her doing piano versions of her songs, and I wish that she would revisit this, because I am a piano version B. bitch. I love piano versions of songs. It's just my absolute favorite. It's always better. It's always so much better.
And also, this isn't one of those songs where they took her vocals and, like, removed all the production.
She re-recorded this shit, and it's incredible. It's, I mean, come on.
Would have loved a live performance of this. We could have shoved You're Not Sorry away.
And then we got Come In With the Rain.
Also love this.
This is honestly one of my top 10 favorite Taylor Swift songs of all time. This is something I haven't listened to it. I'll be honest, I haven't listened to it in a little while. Because it's like something that it's like, yeah, it's one of my favorite songs of all time, but it's like it has its moments where like I really need to listen to that song, and so I do. It's just like the simplicity of it, like even the songwriting is just like very simple, but like there's a lot in there. I always think about, like, the second verse of that song. This is one of her best lines of all time is when she says, I've got you down, I know you by heart, and you don't even know where I start. It's just like, oh, my God, that hurts me. It hurts. It hurts a lot. Because, like, you know how that feels.
Yeah.
I can't even get into it. I cannot even start. It's good. I love this goddamn song.
It's very, very good. I love this. Also, who brought this to us? Liz Rose.
Can you say Queen?
Como se dice, Queen.
Yes.
It is amazing. We love this.
And then The Other Side of the Door, which bangs.
When I was first listening to the song, like the first time I ever heard it, I was like listening. I was like, all right, this is cute, this is fine, whatever. And then the ending showed up and I said,
wow.
I was spanked. I was fucking spanked.
I was choked.
I loved it so gagged. Much. I couldn't get over it. I would like literally, this is shameful to admit, but back when it first came out, I would skip over the whole song and just listen to the last 30 seconds again and again and again.
The last 30 seconds of this song, I don't know how.
It does what it does, but isn't this where your URL comes from?
After everything and that little black dress, ladies and gentlemen, that was me. That was me for many, many years. I was in that little black dress. Mostly because finding a Taylor Swift URL in the days of Taylor being on Tumblr was like finding a unicorn. So I just kept my URL. I never changed. Some of us paid $80 for Out of the Woods.
It was worth it. I gained like 4,000 followers when Out of the Woods came out for doing nothing. I just got them.
Oh my God. Yeah, people who were trying to get the URL were like, who is this bitch? And that was you.
I still get messages to this day. That's where Madeline's URL comes from. This song is a legend. Again, I was like, okay, this is kind of a jump then fall retread when I first heard it. And then when it gets to the end, she's like almost rapping. She just snaps so well.
She literally came for my fucking neck. And so she didn't have to, but she came for me.
So the day after the Platinum Edition comes out, she does Dancing with the Stars.
She performs Jump Then Fall of all the songs to perform. This is the one she picks. Love Story and White Horse. And then for the remainder of this month, she goes to dinner with Selena Gomez. Highlight of the year.
Highlight of the year. She goes to Selena Gomez.
And she visits Notre Dame with Austin.
Oh, was that day, huh? I remembered those pictures in my head. God, remember when Austin was just a chubby little guy?
Yes. And then now everybody wants to have sex with him. I think it's weird.
I think he looks like a fucking mop. I don't get it.
Like, he has the same features as Taylor, but they don't look good on a guy. Like, he looks like he pinched. Looks like a mop. Like, screwed up.
I'm sorry. He looks like a mop. Just leave it at that. A fucking mop.
So Taylor lays low, and then we get, I don't even know if I can talk about this.
On November 7th, 2009, Taylor hosts SNL.
Okay. Should we go with the positives first?
So the
monologue song was okay.
Yes, the monologue song was very cute. I liked it a lot, actually. She
tongue in cheek. She shades Joe because she lives to do that. And she says hi to Taylor Lautner and blows him a kiss.
And I like that she did that instead of,
like, trying to be really funny. Like, I can't do stand-up. That's not her gig.
No, and I think she knew that. I think she knew that, which is why she's like, you know what? My strong point is music, so I'll try to, like, mix humor and music and see what happens. And it worked. It worked really well.
It worked. So this is where she confirms publicly for the first time that she's actually dating Taylor Lautner. She doesn't even really confirm it. She just, like, blows him a kiss, and we're all like, oh, okay.
They're fucking.
They were. She was getting dicked down by Taylor Lautner.
Yeah.
And then, okay, the other good things about this, she performs You Belong With Me, Unremarkable.
But then she performs Untouchable, and it's good.
And it fucking goes the hell off.
Well, I was listening to it again. The vocals, not there, but she looks beautiful.
Great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Oh my god, the fact that that applies to so many events with Taylor Swift, like, literally makes me want to die. You know, great gowns, beautiful gowns, like, whatever.
The VMAs 2009, great gowns,
beautiful gowns.
This really is one of those situations. And then we have all of the skits that she does. What do you think?
So there's let me go on record as saying that I am, generally speaking, not an SNL person. I'm not a skit person. I don't care for it. But my opinion is, I would say the worst one is probably when she was a prison inmate. The second worst one is when she's like, is when she is with Kristen Wiig and they're doing like the roller. And then the third worst one is the one with Andy Samberg. So pretty much all of them. I don't care
everything.
For
everything. Kate Gosselin.
Wasn't there one that I thought was funny? No.
Nope, I didn't think any of them were funny. She didn't make me laugh. Not a single time. I cringed the whole time. Cringed.
Like, yeah, that was, like, super cool that she did SNL, but I think that if she did it again today, it would probably be a little bit better than it was. Yes. Because somebody would be there. And, you know, she came on SNL once during, it was, like, during 1989, and it was, like...
That was funny.
Seth Rogen, right? It was Seth Rogen. Yeah, slid in. Yeah, that was really cute. Yeah.
One thing that I will say is that when she commits to something, she goes hard. She goes all the way. She tries her best. She really did try her best on this one. But I've said it before. You know what? Put this on my tombstone. Taylor Swift is not a fucking actress. She's not.
No, it's like, I don't really understand. And it's like her fascination with it. It really strikes me. It's like, I don't understand. Like, it's not about wanting to be a movie star anymore. Because guess what? You're already a fucking superstar. It doesn't really matter. What is it about? Like, I want to know, like, what is her thought process? Like, what are you interested in acting? Is it just, like, being able to be a different person and not be Taylor Swift for 5 seconds? Maybe. I mean, is that what it's about? That's actually some deep shit. And to think about it, if that's really what it is, that makes me sad.
I think that Taylor has not tried many things in her life that she's not good at. So I think anything she's not good at, she's like a dog with a bone. She's like, I'm going to get good at it. You bet that I'm going to get good at it.
Some things you just can't force Taylor.
Like, Taylor, I'm not going to be a scientist, and that's fine. And you're not going to be an actress. So can we agree on this?
Yeah. Can we agree, please?
I won't pursue a PhD. Can you please drop out of Cats the Musical?
Can you imagine? God, that would be my dream come true.
It really would if they were like, for personal reasons, since Taylor pulled out of the movie. Oh, my God. I would have a party.
I would literally throw a fucking... banger. I'd be like, everybody come over, we're celebrating. Where's TS7? That's what we're interested in. I'm worried that all this promo stuff that she's kind of doing right now, like the pictures and stuff, is all so she can put herself out there and be like, I'm promoting Cats. If it's not about TS7, I will end her. I'm not kidding.
I know.
I'll be mad. I don't really care
about this cat shit. Like, I don't need to see you acting like a cat. I've been seeing that. We know that you love cats. You didn't need to do this. Anyway.
So after SNL, Taylor performs at the CMA Awards.
She does Forever and Always, which
I don't know how to talk about that.
I was listening to the last episode that we did, and I brought that performance up, and you yelled at me. I don't want to talk about that. I was like, okay. Why don't you want to talk about it? You won't give me a reason.
All right. Here's the damn reason, okay? I love that song. That song is in probably my top three of all Taylor Swift songs ever. That song is fucking important to me.
Yeah, okay.
And she took that song and she beheaded her. She ripped all her teeth out individually. She
slaughtered this performance.
As in, not in a good way. It was bad. The vocals were horrible. It was like a condensed version of the Fearless tour. It was super theatrical and not in a good way. And I cannot get over how tragic the vocals are. I know I keep harping on about the vocals, but this performance, it's like bellowing. I hate it. And I love this song, which is why it makes me so mad.
And, you know, the thing is that this was such a huge night for her. And it's like, I mean, she performed twice. Like, she did that song and she also did 15. This was she won Entertainer of the Year. This was like her moment, her big night.
And it's, like, Album crazy of the Year.
I have not watched that performance more than once.
It's horrible. It's so bad. And the thing is, it's the only televised performance of Forever and Always that we have. That's it. That's the fucking tea that won Forever and Always. And I hate it, which is why I can't talk about it. It makes me so mad. I'm so angry at her for doing that to me personally. Maybe if we overlaid the audio from the Fearless tour, it might be a serve.
Yeah, right? Like, okay, just like cut the audio and then put the Fearless tour like over it. I mean, you know what? It could be a serve.
We're lazy. Someone do that to us. So she wins Entertainer of the Year, Album of the Year, Female Vocalist of the Year, International Achievement Award, and Music Video of the Year for Love Story. She cleaned up. I mean, she's probably, other than Carrie Underwood, the only relevant country artist at this time.
Yes, absolutely. You're totally right. Everybody else was, I mean, like, yeah, if you're like into country music, you're like always waiting for that new Reba single. But like, realistically, she's not, you know what I mean?
This is her first like true domination of the country award, which continues for many years. But like the surprise phase, I think, starts to get old at this stage. People are like, bitch, you know you're going to win.
Right. Yeah. I think it's like after. So for me, I think it's after the 2009 Grammys. Was it 2009 or was it 2010? 2009, right? 2009 which Grammys, where she wears the blue dress and she wins all the awards for Fearless.
That's 2010. 2009.
That's 2010. Right. It's in February. It's in February 2010. Okay, you're right. Okay, so I think that the Grammys, we won't get into this really, but that is the true moment that people start to really dislike Taylor Swift because she wins everything and her performances are really bad. So we'll get into that. We will get into that. But yeah, that I think is like the start of her surprise phase, starting to get like whiplash. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's weird how much she flies under the radar for her bad vocals, because there were a lot of sketchy vocals on these performances.
And it kind of goes under the radar and goes unnoticed for this year, at least. Thank God.
This year, it's all kind of like accolades and the VMAs. That's really what happened this year.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So at the end of November, she goes to London and Manchester, her first international tour dates, to perform the full version of the Fearless tour. And do you know who opened up for her, Madeline?
I can't even guess who.
Justin Bieber.
Oh, that's right.
And he breaks his foot.
And he had a broken foot.
He breaks it on stage.
That was when he was just a little guy.
Yeah. This was back before Taylor started fucking hating him.
Does she hate him?
Yeah, remember?
Oh, right, because Selena. Okay, you're right. You're totally right. Yeah, back when he was just a fucking little guy. Totally innocuous, totally innocent. Selena was still calling him her little brother. Weird, pervert bitch.
She is. Yeah. And this was before Baby as well. This was even before Baby. This was just when he had, like, one time. And whatever his One Less Lonely Girl, like that's when those were his big songs. So, yeah, she's a generous queen giving her platform like that. And, you know, most things she touches turns to gold.
Yeah. And look at Justin Bieber now.
Mm-hmm. Look at Justin Bieber.
Well, I mean, look at him like 5 years ago. Look at him 5 years ago. We'll say that.
Yeah.
Because now he's nothing. I mean, sorry to any believers out there, but he's really not doing much.
God, we had a year of inactivity and we were almost dying. Can you imagine being a Justin Bieber fan?
Right? And all he does is like get in trouble
and say
and throw eggs at his neighbor's house and shit and then get married to Hailey Baldwin.
Imagine if Taylor Swift does all of that. I'd die. I would die.
I don't even want to think about it. The people who like stand for like Mary Taylor, pregnant Taylor, Taylor with kids. I'm like, do you realize?
Nope, I'm going
to
listen.
I know that like I, you know, of course, if Taylor wants to get married and have a family, that's totally great. I would be so happy for her, whatever. I'm not obsessed with it, first of all. And second of all, do you realize that if that happens, we're not going to get any content? Like, do you realize? Is it, do you really, as a stan, do you want that? We're not going to get music. We're not going to get appearances. She's going to hide her children from the world. Honestly, at this point, if I were her, I'd be thinking about not having kids, because is it really worth it?
Yes. And I saw a tweet today that was like, if Taylor has kids, we're not going to see them till they're 25. And I was like, that's true.
That's literally true. Yeah.
And we're not going to see Taylor until then either.
Nope.
But yes, I think that time is coming further away than we think it is. It's not coming in the next 3 years. She still has a 5-album deal with Universal to crank out.
So she has to do 5 albums. It's 5 albums now.
Yep. She has to do five albums. 5 more albums at least. She has to record through Universal.
Okay. Yeah. And people think she's going to, you know, just like pop a few kids out. Nope. Whatever.
And Taylor is not the kind of person to drop an album and then go away.
You know what? Now that you say that, I'm even more convinced that TS7 is coming. I guess she is on a new label. Coming. And I bet it's that coming. They are like, you need to make an album. And yeah. She's saying, all right, bitch, I'll do it. Here I go.
They're going to want it soon. They're going to want it soon. And they're going to
want it soon. I want it right now.
I'll have it tomorrow. Please, Taylor, give it to us. Need it. Anyway, back to 2009.
So this is after SNL and the CMAs in November. And we round out the year in December with a very, very quiet period of time.
So we don't get her doing anything, but we get lots of candids of her and Taylor Lautner getting frozen yogurt. And
I love those pictures. And he's in this like fancy fucking Lambo. It's like, yeah.
And we also get some candids of her filming Valentine's Day. So she's finishing Valentine's Day at this point.
You know, I will say that as far as like her bullshit, excuse me, I want to start that over. I don't want to say that. I will say as far as her acting career goes, the Valentine's Day thing is like, that to me is like the most acceptable thing she's done because it was just like a stupid thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She wasn't really acting. She was just like a bit part in a stupid fucking movie.
And it was cute. She wasn't like pulling focus. She wasn't a main character. She didn't have much to do and it worked. I liked all the footage of her and Taylor Lautner making out. That made me very happy.
Me too. You know, that was what we wanted. Perverts. The girls were fed.
the Taylor Squared stands, which, you know, if you weren't one, who were you, really?
There's literally like 10 of us left.
There are five of us left in like eight years. Okay, so that's it for 2009. But we did forget to cover one thing that I definitely think the girls want to hear about. In October, where do you think Taylor Swift goes, Meline?
Are we talking about Katy Perry's birthday party?
Yes!
Yeah!
We are on the same fucking page.
I remembered being surprised that her birthday's in October and she's a Libra. Or no, I think she just misses the cusp. I think she's not a Libra. What happens is that it's one of those parties where everybody wears all white and then everybody paints on you or you paint on yourself. Like, it's fun. It's cute. And somebody that Taylor, like, it's just some random guy. Yeah. And that's it. Like, she was just like, oh yeah, sure. We can have a picture together. And she doesn't, I don't imagine, like, if I was at that party and everybody was covered in paint, I'd be like, oh, let me see what your shirt is. It just looks like splotches to her. So the picture comes out, and I remember seeing it back then, and I was looking at it, and I was like, okay. And so the man that she takes a picture with has painted on his white shirt a swastika.
A huge
swastika. And
what swastika.
Is funny about this is that this picture has been unearthed. So, like, it was just, like, some throwaway picture. Like, nobody really talked about it. I think somebody, like, when I was on Tumblr was like, oh, that's a swastika. And I was like, oh, she probably didn't even notice it. That was the extent of it. And then, like, it took a couple of years. It took until people started hating her. 2012 Red, 2011 maybe even 2010 Grammys, for people to pop up and be like, hey, did you know that Taylor Swift is a Nazi? Because one time she went to Katy Perry's birthday party. It's like, oh, my God. And then I saw the picture years later and looked at it and I was like, oh my God, I remember this. But nobody made a big deal about it back then. But all of a sudden it is a big deal.
The pic went around. Like, when it came up again, I was not like, wow, I've never seen this before. I was like, oh yeah, that happened.
Oh yeah. I was there for that. It's funny because Taylor never apologized for it. But the guy did apologize, which he absolutely fucking should.
Yes, Taylor had no part in that. I genuinely don't believe she knew that it was happening. I don't think she had anything to do with it. I think that probably at a huge event like this, she had a million people. There was probably a line to take photos with her. And she was just getting, like, one after the other. Like, you want to pick? You want to pick? Sure, sure, sure. I don't think that this was a calculated, premeditated thing. Unfortunately, everything Taylor does gets held against her. So that's what fucking happened.
That's what fucking happened.
All right. So that is the end of our fourth episode, 2009 Part 2. Stay tuned because we will be putting out 2010 soon. And if you are listening to us on Apple Music, I don't think you should wait. I think you should subscribe now. And if you're listening to us on Spotify, follow us and check us out on Twitter at us if there's something you want to say. We're T-Swift Podcast. We update there on what's going on with the podcast. And thank you guys so much for listening.